Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he reigns victorious. Over sin, over death, over all, over us. This is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. All right, so if you have your word there, turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5, and just hold your place there in Galatians chapter 5. So last week, we talked about improving our recipe, and we talked about how each and every one, well, first of all, Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, and so it's important that we know that we are the sum total of our life experiences and our teaching and training and things that the Lord has brought to our lives. And then at this point, all of you are here on a Sunday morning, so there's been some transformation that has happened, because the good news is when we receive Christ, we become a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new in our spirit. But then working that out in our attitudes and in our thinking and in our emotions and in our physical being, that takes time. So the event, which is a beautiful event, of becoming a new creation, that happens in an instant. But then that new creation, that righteousness now that's been deposited within us, working its way out in our being, takes time. Philippians 1:6 says that the Lord has begun a good work in us, and he who has begun that good work will perform it until the return of the Lord. And so we can anticipate a continual ongoing process for the rest of our lives. If you live to be 100, it'll still be going on. And so don't give up on that process. Don't disengage from that transformation process. As wonderful as you are, there is room for improvement. But we talked about three things. Number one, we talked about, we used as an analogy, all of our life experiences get mixed into the batter of who we become, and particularly in early childhood, that we have experiences, we have people who model behavior before us, we observe influential people, people of trust, and we observe them, and if they're a little bit broken, we probably pick up on some of that brokenness. If they're a little bit angry, we probably pick up on some of that. If they're shame-based in their relationship with God, we kind of absorb some of that. Because as children, as young children, we don't have the ability to discern between, hey, that's mom or that's dad or that's whomever, and this is me. We just kind of absorb it all. And so what happens is that family can be healthy or family can be toxic. We talk about the three pillars of family, and of church, and of government, and family can be healthy or unhealthy, and church can be healthy or unhealthy, and government can be healthy or unhealthy, toxic even sometimes. And so it's important for us as believers to say, Lord, help me to be healthy in my relationships, and healthy as a parent, and healthy as a spouse, and help me to be healthy, because I don't want to inflict any pain because of the cake that got mixed and the batter that got mixed for me. I don't want that to be painful to others. And so we engage in and we embrace and we celebrate that transformation process, understanding that sometimes in our batter that things got mixed into the batter that shouldn't have been there. And sometimes things didn't get put into the batter that should have been there. Are you with me? And so like unconditional love and a care and concern, if that was deficient in your childhood, that is something that maybe is missing. The good news is all of that can be changed by God's grace and by God's power. But a lot of times life is so busy that we just kind of keep trudging through life and marching along, and we never really are aware
that there might need some change and some improvement. And even as believers, you know, you can get real busy being a church person and busy doing busy things, but the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And our development in Christ is the main thing. And being in love with Jesus and His being in love with us, and the change that happens as a result of that dynamic living relationship, not a religious belief system or a systematic structure, but a living relationship with Christ causes transformation. Are you with me? All right, so we talked about all that. And so we talked about three things. Number one, tasting the cake, and then checking the ingredients, and then number three, improving the recipe. So today we're going to talk about improving the recipe part two. And really going to talk about how we taste the cake. Because we talked about that last week, but how do we go about that? How do we really go about kind of evaluating and assessing the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So people get a flavor of us. And it's important for us to get a flavor of ourselves and to understand how we show up in other people's lives as well. And what that tastes like to be around us, and what that tastes like, so to speak, to be in a relationship with us, or what it tastes like to be our spouse or our child. And I used to be really threatened if someone wanted to speak into my life, maybe a need for improvement. But I got some good healing over time. And so my kids who, as is always the case, got the brunt of a lot of my bad recipe. And because for me, there was just this kind of underlying aggravation all the time, just kind of a low-grade anger. And I just ignored it most of the time and didn't understand it, but it was always there, really. And I tease about driving and all that. I'm much calmer about my driving than I act like, you know. But I used to be more, really seriously, more angry at drivers, and so now I just kind of laugh because it's just funny. And, God bless people and bless them. And a lot of tourists. And so what I like to do is every time I visit another city is drive real slow and wander around and look around like this. And hopefully those folks that were here are there and I get to pay them back. But there was anger. And so you can't be angry. Most people try not to be angry at church. You know, they can kind of hold it together for an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and a half a week. They can come to church and keep it pretty well from spilling out. But when you get to those with whom you're most comfortable, then that stuff kind of spills out sometimes. So is everyone here? Everyone's okay? We're all good? And so my kids and wife at the time got the brunt of most of that. And so I've given my children permission, and I talk about this pretty regularly with them. Hey, if there's ever anything you need to talk about, ever anything that comes up, maybe you have another experience and it reminds you something that maybe you want to talk out with me, I am here, I'm available, you feel free, bring it up. We don't have to live in denial and act like things didn't happen or that I didn't lose my temper and so on. And so you bring it up and make that safe for them. In fact, inviting and welcoming to have that conversation, because that's how healing can happen. And I certainly don't live in shame of my past, but I do live in an awareness that I wasn't always perfect and sometimes just have to plead guilty to stupid stuff. Are you all here?
Yeah.
Okay, so cool. And and we talked about last week how Paul in Romans chapter 7 really got transparent with that Roman church, and he said, hey, the things I want to do sometimes I don't do. The things I don't want to do I find myself doing. He was so frustrated with that struggling And he said, you know, I delight in the things of God in my inward man, but I see another war in my members battling against my mind. And so there he's talking about his inward man, of course, is his spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prays that the church will be sanctified or separated or in tune, certainly, their whole spirit and soul and body. And so our spirit is new and righteous and holy as it's ever going to be the longest day in heaven. But we have other factors and other voices, the voice of reason and the voice of wounded emotions and the voice, that soulish part of man. And our physical being, our flesh certainly has a voice. And are you with me?
Yeah.
So you're driving along, minding your own business and worshiping God and listening to Christian music. And there's a sister, you know, hot pants. And your flesh says, check that out. And so you just have to, for men, I guess men would relate with this. I don't know what you, women, it's a dress in the window. Go, you know, you owe yourself a try on. Go check that, you know, buy another dress, whatever it is. But our flesh has a voice. Now, Dennis, I don't know if you made cheesecake. Dennis was a chef at Wally's. Now he's in the medical field, but he was a chef at Wally's, and he makes cheesecake. God bless him. And I know the Lord brought him to Victory Christian Center for such a time as this. And the Lord is faithful, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and he provided Dennis. And at our men's events, sometimes he'll cook, and the best fried chicken I think I've ever had, boy, it was so good. And no offense to anyone else who's ever fixed me fried chicken, but it was excellent fried chicken. And she had chicken and cheesecake. So anyway, I don't know if, Dennis, you've brought cheesecake today, but my flesh is gonna talk to me about having two or three pieces of it. That's what, so your flesh has a voice. Now, my spirit doesn't want that to eat it in an unhealthy way. Are you with me? But so we have these other things we're contending with. And so Paul got real transparent about that, and he was frustrated, and he was just let that be a reality to those to whom he was writing. And he said, I have this struggle, but God's going to deliver us by the power of his spirit. And then in verse 1 of chapter 8 of the book of Romans, he said, now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. So he talks about that, but then resolves the issue for himself and for those to whom he's writing with this gracious word that there's no condemnation, but that we have to work on those things.
Yeah.
Are you with me? And so there are obviously some things that had gotten mixed into the Apostle Paul's cake that were unpleasant even to him, and so he's wanting to work on it. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. So part two, and we're going to continue this next week at least, and maybe even two more weeks, but I want to talk to you about how to taste the cake, how to make that assessment and that examination. So Galatians chapter 5, you know, the word says, you'll know them by their fruits. And Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So the works of the flesh are before, we'll talk about that maybe at a later time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. I'm going to read from a different translation. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I'm going to talk to you today for just a few minutes about tasting the cake. I have 4 points if you're a note taker. Number one, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. And so I think it's important if we want to understand what's in our lives, what got mixed in that may need improvement, because the whole goal is to improve the recipe. Lord, who I am and what I'm about today, I'm glad to be in the kingdom. I'm glad to be on my way to heaven, but I want you to improve on who I am and how I exude you, because our goal is to grow up into Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus. We want to look more and more and more like Jesus each and every day. And we want to look more like Jesus next year than we do this year. Are you with me? And so some of that just requires some introspection. some reflection on ourselves. And so I think it's important for us to think about, and a lot of times, as I said, we just get too busy, and we don't really take the quality time to reflect or to think about such things. But how am I experiencing myself? You know, am I filled with joy every day, or am I filled with aggravation every day? And so what needs to be in the recipe, and we talked last week, if we're going to improve the recipe, we need to take our ingredients from the pantry of the spirit, not the pantry of the flesh. Are you all with me? And I know this is more germane to the 11 o'clock people, but you can pass this on at the picnic to them. So this is just for people you know. But we can draw from the, and sometimes we make excuses to take ingredients from the pantry of the flesh. Well, that's just how our family always was. You're drawing on the flesh right there. Are you with me?
Yeah.
If that's just how your family always was, if that's going to be an ingredient you're drawing from to put in what's acceptable to how you conduct yourself, you're drawing from the flesh. And there's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so that's going to get you in trouble. That's not going to look good. That's not going to work out. That's not going to be pleasant. Not going to be helpful to you. Not going to be helpful to me. Not going to be helpful to others. Not going to be helpful. Are you with me? And so let's draw from the pantry of the Spirit and the nature of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. And so we need to draw from that. Draw from that love. Draw from that peace. All these nine fruits of the Spirit. And of course, we know there are others, but this is just a great list that the Apostle Paul sort of gives to shape the understanding of the Galatian church. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So 1 Corinthians 11, of course, when the Apostle Paul is explaining the communion table, he said, you know, when you come together, let a man examine himself. And so it's really important for us to be honest with ourselves and to say, Lord, what's my cake tasting like? How do I experience myself? And I hate to try and be too much of a psychologist in the pulpit, but in my helping people, and this is free, it's $150 an hour, so hope I'll see you at the door. To develop an inward observer. To develop your inward observer means that you take time to really evaluate and assess your stuff, your behavior, your attitudes. And then you in life's journey that you evaluate that and think, no, and just be honest and say, gee, that was an interaction I had with that person that didn't seem quite right. Something, I wonder what that was. And we observe in our own minds, we observe that behavior, and we develop a keen sense of evaluation and doing better the next time. And maybe even having a do-over. If it's someone that you have an ongoing relationship with, if it gets jacked up too much, you can have a do. Hey, could we do that over again? That didn't come across quite right. That didn't end up how I wanted it to. And let's have a do-over. So developing the inward observer is part of this, really, let a man examine himself. So it's a biblical idea of examining ourselves, but I think sometimes we don't know really what's that look like, let a man examine himself. But to evaluate how you experience yourself and to evaluate how others experience you as well. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he also talks about that. So 1 Corinthians 11 and 2 Corinthians 13:5, we examine ourselves. Now, sometimes we have teachable moments, and those are real valuable so that we can get a taste of our own cake. And I told you about one last week. I was when I was younger, much younger father, and always in a hurry. I thought I was very, very, very important. And it's not that I don't value myself. I do. But, kingdom stuff is about us, but it's not all about us. It is about you. So some people give the inference, it's not about you. Well, it is. Of course it is. God loved us so much that he did something about it and sent his son Jesus to die and bleed and to have that we might connect with our Heavenly Father. So it is about us. we're valuable to Him and we're precious to Him and we're treasured by Him. So it's about us. God is about people, but it's not all about us. See, there are others, and so it's about them too. And so I was, you know, I just thought I was so important and had to be, you know, always in a hurry and doing important things. And I really enjoy my life much more now than I did when I was younger, and a lot more rose smelling and looking at that mountain over there and appreciating God's majesty. And the simpler, littler things are just so significant. And then after you almost lose your child, and that brings things into focus, a very, very much a teachable moment with Caleb and his accident. But I told last week about how I was in a hurry, and my daughter is the oldest, and she was helping with the two boys, and hurry, hurry, what's taking you kids so long? Come on, I'm important, I don't want, you know, yeah. And Becca got in the car, she got the boys in the car, and she looked at me and she said, sitting up in the front seat by me, she said, "Dad, real serious and sincere, just sweet, not intended to hammer my heart like it did." She said, "Dad, are we a hassle?" And what a moment. What a painful, precious moment. It was so good and so horrible at the same time. And so I'm examining myself. Oh my goodness, is that how I come across to my own children? Like they're the greatest, most precious gift that God could have bestowed in my world, that they think they're a hassle? See? Similarly, one time I was yelling, "Amen!" You know, I never screamed or, you know, that kind of thing, but just shame, and I don't know what all I put on, but you know, "Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?" Or hurry, or there's a lot of hurry kind of themes. And Eamon looked at me and he said, "Gosh, Dad," that was it. But it cut me. Just provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. And I was provoking and goading and provoking him to wrath. And it was a great teachable moment. I had an employee years ago, and it was before I came here, managing a restaurant, and had an employee, she was a hostess, and I was aggravated at her for some reason. And, you know, girls cry and all this stuff, oh my gosh. So she started weeping in tears, and she was a sweet girl and pretty girl. And she was on a full scholarship at Eastern Illinois University, a badminton scholarship. And I didn't know there was such a thing. She was on a badminton scholarship. And so her name is Christine. And so she started weeping because I was chewing her out. And she said to me, "I'm doing the best I can." And you know what? She was. But for some reason, I was all wound up about it. So those teachable moments are so valuable. But we can't just live from teachable moment to teachable moment. We need to be intentional about this evaluation on an ongoing basis and cherish the teachable moments, as painful as they may be, to cherish those and to relish those as gifts from God and not defend against them. You know, it's our human nature to defend against that kind of emotional pain, that something might be wrong with me or I'm not doing it right. And we have these defense mechanisms, and so that we throw those up. But to say, okay, I'm gonna be ready for teachable moments. I'm gonna receive those as gifts from the Lord. But we examine ourselves. Everyone good on that? Yeah. Okay, number two, Matthew 7, Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruit." Let's turn there. We have time. Matthew 7. Verse 15, we'll start with this, although it's not the main thrust of what we're talking about. Certainly, verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." And I have to tell you that we're living in a time when the true prophetic is being poured out like never before, and that's exciting, and we embrace the prophetic flow and the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we welcome the moving of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And while there's this proliferation of true prophetic, there's also a rising up of lots of false, crazy stuff. And it doesn't come in the form of a obviously, overtly, "Hi, I'm of the devil." It's very subtle, like Jesus said. How many believe Jesus was right? So it's very subtle. They come, they're inwardly ravening wolves and selfish or self-serving, but they use gospel terms and they carry this book around with them. So it's not like just some obvious, I'm a false prophet. that wouldn't be helpful for their false profiting. But verse 16, so let's go on. So we're really not focused on that. Verse 16, we want to talk about this fruit idea. Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruits. And do men gather grapes of thorns? And do they gather figs from thistles?" No, of course not. "Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore," Jesus said in verse 20, "by their fruits you shall know them." So everyone say fruits. So we all have fruit in our lives, and we want that to be good fruit. And we're working on that. But the point is, we will know them by their fruits. We will know ourselves by our fruits. Are you here? So we, in order to get to taste the cake, we need to kind of say, what's the fruit? What is the fruit of my relationships? You know, I hear people say sometimes, you know, "Pastor Jeff, I just had 8 rotten bosses in a row, just terrible employers, 8 in a row." You might want to think on that. Hello? Maybe Creflo Dollar was here years ago, and he said, "You know, if you're living in your apartment burns down, and you move into Mama's house, and her house burns down, and you move to Big Mama's house, and her house burns down, there may be something on you." Y'all white folks here? Yeah. Being honest with ourselves about how we come across to other people. What's our fruit? And being honest about that. So, a fruit evaluation. How we experience ourselves and checking in on that, but then saying, what's the fruit of my relationship? What are the fruit of my life? What are the fruit of my relationships? What are the fruit of my actions? How's that come? How does it end up? What's the end result? Are you all with me? Are you glad you came or not? I'm glad to be. I'm excited about this. This is helping me. It really is. I'm telling you, this is helping me. It's just always good to review this kind of stuff. It's real healthy, I think, as a part of our spiritual development and spiritual formation. And that we just, not that we do that in a neurotic way. We're always worried about, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? You're doing great. There's no condemnation. But keep walking after the Spirit. Keep making that evaluation. Keep kind of checking in on yourself. So I'm not here to beat up on anybody. I'm just here to encourage you, and as the Word says, as we're called to do as believers, to provoke you to love and good works. I want to encourage you and spur you on and cheer you on. Hey, you're doing great, but you can do better, and let's keep growing in Christ. Not from a religious condemnation viewpoint, but of an encouragement we can be more like Jesus viewpoint. Number three, Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." So a way to check your cake and to taste your cake is to ask someone who will be honest with you. And these friends, listen closely now, these friends are few and far between. People who have confidence enough in the relationship, that the relationship is not too fragile so that they couldn't be honest with you. So that you have a relationship that has some trust, that you would know that this person would never say anything to hurt you intentionally, but that they can be honest with you. Faithful are the wounds, that doesn't sound pleasant, of a friend. But just like I was wounded by Rebecca's question, Dad, are we a hassle? That wounded me, that hurt me, but it was so good. And so you may want to check in. And I have some people on my radar right now that I'm encouraging them about the way they treat their wife. Because I've been there where I was a toxic husband. And so I see it and I get it. And so I'm calling, you know, some people that relationship is such. Because, you know, if you go to some, as a pastor, you go to some people and just say, you're treating your wife rotten, dude. Because you can say things from the pulpit that you can't say on a one-on-one basis sometimes because people just aren't ready for it. It would freak them out. They'd be gone. So you have to use God's wisdom in how you approach that. But if you have those kinds of friends, invite them to speak into your life. Like I've invited my kids. If you need to bring up anything, you know, bring it up.
That's good.
Yeah. I've explained to them that I didn't put any money aside for their education, but I did set some aside for their therapy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So checking in with people. How am I doing? You know, and people who can really observe the, not just a backslapping kind of a, you know, that kind of a thing, but where we're really available to hear some truth. Number four, and this is obvious, but it's important to talk about it. Ask for God's help and God's perspective. Turn with me to one last passage here, the book of Psalms, the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. And we'll look down at verses toward the end. The last couple of verses. You know, this, David says in Psalm 51, Lord, created me a new heart. He's into this, what we're talking about here. But here in verses 23 and 24, he says, this is David, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. So he's saying here, God, you help me with this self-assessment, this self-evaluation of, help me with being honest with myself. And you help me, and Lord, you search me and you check me. And if there's anything that's not pleasing to you, you let me know. Because it's the inference is that God's going to let David know. Because you're going to lead me out of that into a better path. Are you with me? All right. So if we're going to do, if we're going to taste our cake, if we're going to improve our recipe, we have to taste the cake. I watch that Chopped sometimes on the Food Channel when I can't get TBN. I'll turn to the Food Channel, and Chopped is where they start out with four chefs, and then they eliminate them, and blah, 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 but if you've ever seen it, but they always, you know, they watch them, and they'll taste their own, like they're making a sauce, and they'll taste it before they serve it up, and so they're always tasting, and so we need to learn from a good chef that we, before we start serving up our stuff, we need to check it out first.
Yeah.
And not just live on autopilot for the rest of our lives. That we get more intentional about who we are and how we show up. How we show up for ourselves, how we show up for others, how we show up for Jesus. That we get more thoughtful about that. That we develop our inward observer and improve on that. Being patient with ourselves. Being merciful because God is merciful. and not getting ourselves into shame. And because if you start making this evaluation, you can spiral, especially if you've got the wrong ingredients in the batter in the first place, we can spiral down into shame. And God's not called us to shame. No, he's called us to hope. And so this is all very hopeful. This whole endeavor of tasting the cake should be with excitement. Lord, I know I'm going to find some stuff here. I'm going to find some things, but I know that I'm going to be better because I find it, because I'm honest about it, because I'm not going to just throw up defenses against it and say, well, that's just tough. That's the way I am. And that's kind of how we do sometimes. Or we chalk it up to, you know, a lot of people can even spiritualize their carnal flesh. Are you all here?
Yes.
I remember one time voice of the Assemblies of God, C.M. Ward, was a great preacher. But he was kind of a character known in the Assemblies of God for being kind of a character. And I remember he told the story one time. They said, "Brother Ward, now," because he's always taking an offering, which I might do myself now that I mention it. But he's always taking offerings, and they said, "Brother Ward, we're going to give you an honorarium." They said, "Don't take an offering for yourself." Because he would take an offering for his ministry. And now he's in heaven now, so he won't mind me telling this. So don't take an offering for yourself, Brother Ward, because we're going to take one. We're going to give you an honorarium. So at the end of his message, he said, "Now my wife, Harriet, whatever her name was, Sister Ward, has been a great woman of God and stood by me all these many decades and been a pioneer with me in the Pentecostal movement." And he said, "I just feel led to take an offering for her tonight." And that's what another time he had been critical. Of course, he was the official radio voice. It was called Revival Time, was their radio program of the Assemblies of God. And he was the speaker every week. And, you know, every radio station, pretty much Christian radio station in the nation, carried that. And so he was the official voice of the Assemblies of God. And so he had said some things in a meeting, not on radio, but in a meeting where he had been critical of the Assemblies of God. And so they called him in and they said, "Now, Brother Ward, you can't do that. You can't criticize. I mean, you're our official spokesperson, and you can't criticize the Assemblies of God like that." He said, "Well, I didn't criticize the Assemblies of God." And they said, "Well, you did." He said, "No, I didn't." And they said, "We've got it on tape." He said, "Well, let's hear it then." So they played the tape, and of course he was critical of the Assemblies of God, and they all looked at him, and he said, "Well, it's amazing what you say under the anointing." So let's not chalk up our stuff that needs to be worked on to, well, that's just how the Lord uses me. So, like, you don't give angry prophecies and, that's just how the Lord uses me. No, prophecy on this side of the cross, listen, it's very clear from the scripture, is for exhortation, edification, and comfort of others. And so if you're angry, don't prophesy over me, because you need to come through Jesus first before you come prophesying up in here. Get out of my grill. All right.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.